I'm Cheyenne Kristen, dental hygienist at the MCHC Knott County Dental Clinic. Did you know that oral infections and dental disease can lead to other diseases in the body? At MCHC, we believe in yearly checkups and preventative visits so we can decrease your risk while providing great oral care and a healthy smile. So schedule your appointment today by calling 785-0259. Your family's oral health is important to us, and it's just another way MCHC provides better health for a longer life.
This is Alex Porter. I'm on with You Know the Drill with Wes and Brady, and hopefully it should be a good time.
You Know the Drill with Wes Smith, Wes Smith. And Brady Kennedy, presented by UCHC.
You Know the Drill, Wes Smith, Brady Kennedy, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Brady, I'm telling you, anytime I feel bad, anytime I'm just not feeling good, I run down to MCHC. They take care of me every time. It's like, I don't know, they give them, like, they've got these magic shots or something, dude. It's like instant rejuvenation.
Good. Well, now I got my whoop. I'll never get sick.
Oh, it's like the cheat code. Ahead of time. How long? Tell us about this. How long you been?
I'm on day one. It tracks my sleep. I got to do 21 days of it to like track what I really am. I'm eager to hear to see my age. What it tells me if I'm four down, four up. And actually, our guest was one that recommended this, and I've been looking at it for quite some time. And I was like, you know, I was between that or the Aura Ring, so I'm settling on the trial for the whoop and see what happens.
How did you sleep last night?
Yeah, said I slept actually great. I had like an hour and 23 minutes of REM. So it's phenomenal.
Ooh.
Could be bad. I don't know. I think it's good. But
Brady, I'm curious to hear, what's your bedtime routine?
Oh, gosh. Well, I get in bed and I'm a big scroller on my phone. Big scroller. That's what hurts. So I need to be better about that.
You get in the TikTok vacuum.
Yeah, I do. And I'm way in the vacuum. So.
Well, I know you're on a TikTok presence just because you are the way I found out about Lexington having a new Long John Silvers.
Oh man, I love Long John Silvers. So yeah, I'm a big proponent. Went on opening day.
Love it. You had the shirt. If you've not checked out Brady Kennedy's TikTok, make sure you go check it out. You learn about Long Johns and the corn shucker pillar thing.
Yep. So yeah,
it's all on there.
Shout out TikTok.
Well, Brady, as we know, nobody likes to hear us and what we've got to say, because it really makes no sense half of the time anyway. So, dude, we've got, you mentioned we've got a guest today that introduced this idea to you to track your sleep here and age with that. And, dude, excited to have him on. You sit here and I hear all these really intense podcasts and like ESPN and all this stuff, and they're going over these introductions, and I don't know that I have the lung capacity to go over a lot of them, especially what the guy we've got today. But I mean, we're talking about McDonald's All-American. We're talking about a former Kentucky Wildcat who had Final Four appearances, SEC titles, overcame a huge injury, played professionally in the NBA, played overseas. He's won titles overseas, and really, honestly, maybe the next PGA professional on the course. Well, is that true?
He's coming. He's a ways away, but he's closer than probably any of us are.
Facts. Oh. But we are joined today by none other than Alex Poythers. Alex, man, straight off the court tonight to hop on here and record this with us. We appreciate you hopping on here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I feel like Brady hit you up about this, and then we went out on the golf course one day, and I felt really confident. I was like, okay. I was like, yeah. You know, Brady says he'll join the podcast with us, and then we played a round of golf with you, and I was like, I don't know. Like, you may not have time now.
Yeah, Brady had a bad day on the golf course that day.
I did. We, just for people that don't understand, what was that, your first or second round of playing, full 18?
That was my first time playing a full AZ.
Oh gosh, don't say that. Well, we had the scramble and
I only played nine. I swear I played nine this morning. I only played nine. I never
oh.
played 18.
So we get out there and he's acting like he can't play and all this stuff. Well, unfortunately, we had to use his first like five drives of our group, which can tell you that. And actually, they were good shots, but you know what? We were having him there to maybe hit a putt or two, but we ended up using probably a majority of his shots the entire time. But it was good. It was fun.
Always fun when you get out there with a guy and it's his first full round of 18 holes and like his first drive, he knocks it 300 yards down the fairway. It's like, okay. Hey, Alex, though, you said it best. What's the reasoning behind it?
Playing golf?
Yeah.
Athlete, just, man. Yeah, I'm an athlete. I'm a way better athlete than Brady is.
But I can drive a golf cart better, and we'll just leave that as it. We don't need to explain anymore.
Sand traps to get you, man.
Yeah, I know. Come out of nowhere.
I wish I could say that I've never had accidents on a golf cart, but I think we all know that that's not the case. But well, Alex, man, again, thanks for hopping on here. And you know, I want to cover a lot of things, you know, like we say on this podcast, man, we want to highlight you and talk about, you know, your life and career, especially here. We've got, you know, the majority of our listeners are in the BBN, so they're always excited to have the family home and on the show and hear some stuff. So I really want to dive in first, you know.
Okay.
Young man from Clarksville, Tennessee, and they're going to love this a lot. We've got a large listening crowd down from Madisonville, Kentucky, just up the road from Clarksville.
Yeah, it's not too far.
Not too far. Not too far away. Tell us a little bit about Alex that, you know, growing up you played for your high school that you went to.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit of that with basketball. You know, at what point in your life did Alex Poythress realize, like, hey, I'm pretty good at this?
I mean, I always used to be tall for my age. So, like, playing around, like, me and my twin sister were actually playing. She actually used to be better than me, but I was always taller and bigger than her. But no, just playing, and you know what I mean? We used to play outside. I don't know if kids do that now, but we used to play outside all the time. Just playing pickup, 36, 21, all that type of stuff. And then when I got to high school, I was like the only freshman on the team. And I'm like, okay, I didn't think nothing of it. And then sophomore year, I actually got decent. Like, I actually started playing more. And I'm like the only, like, underclassman playing. I'm like, oh, this is nice. I'm the only one playing. And then, like, that summer, I think I went to a Western Kentucky elite camp. And I remember, I think I got offered like right on the spot. And I remember being so excited because Western offered me. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to school or something like that. And then a summer later, all these other big schools started coming. So I think it's probably about sophomore year, I would say.
That's got to be a good feeling, Brady. I don't know. And I know you played some collegiate soccer, but I can't imagine, you know, going to an elite camp and them just being like, hey, like, you've got a scholarship with us anytime, you're welcome. Like, I feel like I was the kid at elite camp, or, well, it wasn't elite camp with me, but I feel like I was the kid that was like, hey, where's he at? He's late for his game.
Yeah, no, I think when I went, I don't think I practiced for it or anything. I think I just went because somebody told me like that day before, like, hey, there's a camp in Bowling Green, you should go. I'm like, all right, sure, I'll go.
So was that your first offer?
Yeah, Western was my first offer, and Vandy was my second. I think Vandy offered me right when I heard the news that Western offered me. I think they called me that night or something like that.
So what's that recruiting process like, Alex? Like, walk us through, like, you start getting these offers. You've got Western, Vandy comes in second. What's that like with these schools starting to reach out to you?
I mean, it was cool at first because in the beginning it was really slow. No, I mean, not slow. My sophomore year, I'll say. My sophomore year, like that summer after my sophomore year, it was slow. You know what I mean? I had Vandy, I had Western. I had some interest from Tennessee. And then I started playing my junior year. And then I think, again, on my junior year, I was averaging like 30 or something like that. And then that's when, like, all the other schools just came flying offer, offer, offer. I remember I had like this big bin of letters that my mom used to have. It's probably sitting in our garage now. Like these two big bins just full of college letters and stuff like that. They would always send me.
Did you ever like, I feel like you start forgetting like who you have offers from, like, and you're like,
Yeah,
oh yeah.
you get to a point when some schools offer you, you'd be like, oh, okay, like schools you never think about. Like I think I maybe Mississippi State called one time. Like, oh yeah, we offer you. I'm like, oh, okay. Like I was never considered. You know what I mean? Like, because again, once you get to a point, like once you have like 30, 40 offers, it's like, all right, but I gotta narrow this down at some point.
Who helped you? Like, so I'm always interested in the recruiting process. How did you go about the process of narrowing it down? Like, you had at some point sit there and be like, all right, this has to be cut down. How did you do? Who did you like go to help? And obviously, you didn't do it alone.
I had my mom, my dad, my sister, and my high school coach, but it's something simple as they told me, like, get a notebook, write the pros and cons of each school, which schools do you like, and I narrowed it down from that.
I feel like
That's
that's
crazy.
always the go-to. That's always the safe, right? The pros
It's
and
a
cons.
simple process. I think a lot of now kids try to overdo it because now a kid wants 30 offers, but in reality, what is 30 offers going to do for you?
Yeah.
So thinking about it now, and we'll get into, obviously we know who you choose and we know how that ends up, but walk us through now. We're in this NIL era now, Alex. And so, does that make the process a little bit different when it comes to the point where you're so you disregarded Mississippi State earlier, but what if, Mississippi State comes in now offering $1 million more per year?
Well now kids they have to juggle the decision of financially, of course, and then still basketball athletically. You know what I mean? Like it can't just be strictly an athletic and it can't strictly be a financial decision. They gotta mix the two. And you know what I mean? Because you can't really count nobody out because again, if you got some schools offering you 700,000 and you got another school offering you 1.5, like you would be stupid not to consider that bigger school, regardless of where they're at. Like that's why you see some of the schools like BYU, Memphis, some of these other schools, they're like putting all the baskets on one player. It'd be like, hey, we want you to be our main guy and lead our team to whatever title it is they're chasing for.
So why Kentucky?
I mean, at first it was strictly because like they made pros. Like you got to think when I was growing up, Kentucky had John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, AD, and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Who else? Like Deron. Like they had like guys that went to the next level and played and performed. You know what I mean? Like not just played and were just on the team. They actually played and had good NBA careers and. Actually, one of my main decisions was like, all right, if this is really what you want to do, you got to go to a place that produced pros. And Cal and Kentucky, they did that. So.
So I know, you and Brady talked a little bit about that narrowing down process and pros and cons. And obviously you can tell me if I'm wrong. I know there was a lot of schools in that last list that you kind of narrowed it down to. I think Florida was in the mix for you late, right?
Yeah, I think my top five was Kentucky, Vandy, Florida, Memphis, and I can't remember who my fifth was. It may have been, it was Tennessee, but then they fired Bruce Pearl. It may have been, yeah, I think it was Tennessee, but they fired Bruce Pearl, so I kind of took him off my list once that happened.
Did it have anything to do with you knowing Brady Kennedy was going to enter your life at the University of Kentucky?
I wish if I would have known that, I would have went to Vandy.
That's crazy.
I'm
That's
playing.
crazy.
I'm playing.
That's crazy. How was the recruitment process with Bruce? For people like obviously Bruce has been around Kentucky for a while at Tennessee, now at Auburn. What's he like in
I'm
the
not gonna lie. It was great. It was really great. You know, you see how open and bubbly he is now. That's how he was talking on the phone and stuff. Like honestly, like Tennessee would have been a tough out if he would have stayed, because I liked Tennessee a lot when he was there. I really did. And it being in state, it would have been even a tougher decision too. But once he got fired, I think I can't remember who was the coach afterwards, but it was like they didn't call me for like a month, and I was like, yeah, all right, I'm not considering y'all no more.
I think it was, I think Rick Barnes went there, right? Was he?
No, this was like, it had to be like Kwanzaa or what's the Tisdale or
Oh,
something.
yeah. Quanta Martin,
It
I
was
think.
like, yeah, it was like
Yep.
before. It was like there was a couple coaches before Rick Barnes got there.
Alex, how close? Like, I always think about, young guys, 17, 18 years old, making this decision that's ultimately going to impact the rest of their life. You're only going to be there 3, 4, 5 years, but the impact of that is long after that. Was there a moment in making this decision, like down to the minute that you announced Kentucky, was it ever crossing your mind, like, is this it, or is somebody else still right there?
No, I mean, once Tennessee left my top five, it was I liked Vandy, but all their whole team was like seniors and they all left, so I'm like, all right, I'm be by myself. I didn't really like that idea. I liked Florida, but I thought it was a little bit too far from my family. And then Memphis, I went to Memphis and I'm like, oh, they have no control, so I can't go here. So once like I kind of narrowed that down, like Kentucky was the obvious choice for me.
So what was obviously John Calipari is at Kentucky. First of all, what was your first impression of John Calipari talking to him? What did you think about him right off the bat?
I think I was kind of in like shock, because I'm like, okay, like if he's really talking to me, he thinks I can be one of these great players that he's had. Like again, once you mention John Wall, Brandon Knight, DeMarcus Cousins, you'd be like, okay, you see these are the guys that you're following in their footsteps, you know what I mean? Especially I'm speaking from my 16, 17-year-old perspective, like because we're kids, you know what I mean? We grow up watching NBA and all that stuff. So I see him on TV, I'm like, oh, that's what I want to do. Now as a competitor, like I play against them, but like back then I'm like, oh, I can be like one of them. Like that's exciting as a young man, as a young basketball player.
So I feel like a lot of guests that me and Brady have had on this show, Alex, have, a lot of times we ask about, when did it hit you? Like, I'm at Kentucky, this is crazy. And I feel like a lot of times we get that of when I first walked out into Rupp Arena at Big Blue Madness.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I actually went to the Big Blue Madness the year before, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is insane.
Yeah.
And then the big game that I really watched them play, I watched them when they played North Carolina at home when they had Harrison Barnes and
You
that
were
whole
there. Oh,
game.
yeah, that's when Anthony, I think,
Yeah,
blocked.
the game winning block. And I'm like, oh yeah, I have to play here. Once I seen that environment, I'm like, I have to play here.
What
That's
was
awesome.
your walkout song at Big Blue Madness?
Oh, I mean, one, I had four of them. So,
Dude, you danced, didn't you? What did you dance on the
I danced my freshman year. That may
Yeah.
have been the only year I danced.
Okay. So
I
what
think
was the
nah, it was
freshman year song?
Archie, because Archie was like, oh, we have to dance. We have to dance. I'm like, bro, I don't want to dance. Archie was like, nah, we have to dance. So you can thank Archie. There's a video out there somewhere, but.
We're gonna pull that. We're gonna pull that on the screen for
Oh, okay. All
this
right.
episode. We're gonna put that on there, and check that out. So that was your. You feel like that was your wake up moment of even going to those games, that North Carolina game, going to the Big Blue Madness. So you even had that feeling before
Yeah,
your.
that was like the excitement level. And then of course when we start practicing and really going at each other, that's when you realize like, okay, we're at Kentucky. Cal screaming at us, KP screaming at us, we're working out at night, 2 of the 8s. Like that's when you're like, okay, this is the grind that if you want to get to where they're at, that's just what you gotta do.
Yeah. I think that's the best attribute of Cal, is like all these other players went through that, right? You all saw that, and that's what they did, and it works, So
So you have to do it. Like even
yeah.
when Brady was in the gym with me half the time anyways, you know what I mean? We get that 9 o'clock text, meet in the gym, you have to work out and get it in. And there were hard workouts, but you got to do it. That's how you get better. It's the only way how you get better.
No choice. No choice. So what, Alex, I'm always curious, you know, you said earlier you grew up, you knew that Kentucky produces pros, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about these guys you grew up watching, especially being close to Kentucky in Clarksville, Tennessee. But, you know, you get to Kentucky and you're sharing the court with all of these future NBA, and we can call them stars. I mean, we're talking guys like Julius Randle, Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker. What's that dynamic like being, you know, sharing the court with guys like that, that you've, you know, guys like you've grew up watching?
I mean, when you're in it, like when we're both college teammates and all that stuff, you don't really feel no different. You know what I mean? Like, you don't feel like you all feel equal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, but in reality, it prepares you for a role that you're going to play when you're a professional. You know what I mean? Like, I'm used to playing with talented guys. I'm used to know how to play off somebody. I'm used to, you know what I mean? Because again, there's only, you know what I mean, the NBA and teams overseas, there's only one guy that can be like the superstar or get all the shots or whatever. And everybody else has to play a role. You know what I mean? Like, you even seen it with Shea, like Shea and OKC. Like, you got one guy who's the main guy. Everybody else got to be able to play off him and play a role. So I think that prepared us a lot. You know what I mean? Because playing with, you know what I mean, like you said, Julius, the twins, Carl, Devin, Tyler, Jamal, like I can name, the list goes on, Archie, Willie, you know what I mean? The list goes on and on. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you get to the NBA and you look around, like everybody had a good college career. You know what I mean? Like, there's no more slouches or anything like that.
And so I guess you start getting that feeling of, you know, this is me too. Like, I'm this good. Like, I'm here too.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You feel like you belong. You know what I mean? Like, and you have to play like it too.
Brady, is there anything that jumps out in your memory of, like, you know, I mean, look at the squad that Alex is part of, that team, you know. You've got Alex. You've got
Jim. It was the practices, like, kind of like, I know that's what he'll probably hit on too. It's like, dude, the practices were like nuts. Like,
practices were wars. Like,
war.
The practices were harder than the games, honestly. Because mm-hmm. you got thinking, Cal, like, we don't really do a lot of drills. We did that one drill, what was it, perfection or whatever.
Yeah.
But like after that, like, it's all playing against each other, competition. So like, the practices would be insane. Like, we would play against each other. Yeah, I think we had good teams there. So the practices were way harder than the games, which made the games a lot easier in different situations and stuff.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, and it was remarkable. At like, I mean, you had like Dom and Derek sitting out on the sideline who.
Yeah, they were, you got to think they were the 11th and 12th man.
Like, yeah, crazy. Yeah.
It's insane. But yeah, the practices were, I mean, you had like, you got to think, you had like Carl and Willie going up against each other. And like, you had Trey Lyles, you forgot about him. Trey and Alex would go against each other. Like, yeah. it's just crazy. I mean, twins versus Book and Tyler. I mean, and that was just that year. I mean, but the other years too, I mean, you had
Jamal and Tyler and Briscoe.
Yep.
We had Archie my freshman year.
But even Sorry. like think about this, like that was the only gym in America, like two McDonald's All-Americans, like you and Julius got to go up against each other every day.
Yeah,
like,
I think we had, how many McDonald's, was it 10? Or how many was the McDonald's All-American that year? Yeah, all of us were McDonald's All-Americans.
Yeah.
I think all of them, yeah.
Yeah, everybody was.
I'm just saying.
Maybe Willie wasn't. I don't think Willie wasn't. Willie wasn't. So Willie. Nine.
It's crazy.
And he probably got drafted. He got what, 6'5", something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, that's just crazy to think. Like, I'm sitting here picturing and imagining these practices, Alex, and it's like, I mean, shoot, like, I would just about rather watch a practice with all of you guys on the floor.
And that's what about any game. That's what a lot of NBA teams did. Like, they used to come to our practice all the time. Like, every practice we would have 7, 8, 10 scouts there. It got to a point where Cal like kicked everybody out because he was like, all right, y'all just watching practice.
Yeah. It was crazy. That and the gym seems a little bit smaller, you know what I mean? When you got those guys just practice, it's not wide open like Rupp. And then but the one thing I will hit on about that year in blue, you might be about to say it, but like, dude, you remember that UCLA game when we freaking torched the, like,
yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, not with that.
Dude, that was wild. And that was like, I remember Cal being like, he had to figure out when to take the next group out, because like we held him to zero for like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
Like,
but what can you do? I mean, we had, but the thing is, though, you got a fresh new five coming in, which is that's never gonna get duplicated in college basketball, especially now the way NIL is. Like, and there was, and I remember that year we had so many cameras following us around. Like I always said, there probably gonna be a 30 for 30 on that year team at some point because we had cameras everywhere. You gotta think every time we on the road, we had like a different speaker come talk to us. We had cameras in Cal's room when we used to have our meetings before. Like, what, Jay Billis, Charles Bart, like, we had everybody talk to us. So it's going to be, there's some lost footage somewhere.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Just thinking about, obviously a lot of great years at Kentucky with all the talent, with you and everybody else there, Alex. And I want to kind of move on to that. We were just talking with that group, and 38-1 season. What made that group so special? What made you able to do that?
One, what made it so special? We didn't know it was going to work at first, but especially once we decided to come back, like me, Willie, and the twins talked with each other, like, all right, we'll go come back. And then that's when, again, Devin, Tyler, Carl, Marcus came that year, Dakari. So then we were like, okay, like, what are we about to do? Like, because I know Cal had to be like, okay. And then, so we went to the Bahamas that year, and that's when Cal was like, oh, okay, we're going to do the platoon, five in, five out. At first, we were like, ain't no way this going to work. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way, like, that's not going to work. We're only playing 20 minutes? Like, no. Nah. But we were playing these professional teams. And when I say we were kicking that, it was bad. So that's when we were like, oh, we got a chance to do this. And then it translated to when we started beating all these regular teams. Like, we beat Kansas in the beginning of the year by like 40 or something like that. That's when you were like, okay, this got a chance. And then when I got hurt, Cal tweaked it a little bit. Like, I think he may have played Derek and Dom together, split it, may have left Trey in there sometimes. But yeah, no, it was crazy.
You mentioned getting hurt, Alex, and so I think that's what, December of 2014,
Yeah, it was right before the North Carolina game.
right before the North Carolina game. So how does that affect you, not only physically but mentally, knowing when that happens?
It was physically, it wasn't that bad. Okay, we had a tough practice that I remember like we had a tough practice the day before North Carolina because we may have played somebody, but Cal was mad at us. So we had a tough practice. We were going hard. And I remember I got a steal and a breakaway layup. And I just planned it wrong. But like, I remember I walked off to the training room. Like, nobody thought it was that serious. And then I remember getting an MRI that night, and the doctor, like, I've seen a look on his face. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, and he was like, yeah, it's torn. I'm like, what do you mean it's torn? Like, I've been walking all day. And so then I had to do that call. And then I remember after I actually got surgery, like those first 2 days, I'm like, oh, okay, this is gonna be tougher than I thought, because once the pain medicine wears off and all that stuff. But I mean, after that, you gotta like change your mentality and be like, okay, how do I recover? How do I get back to where I was? Because I mean, you gotta remember, like, nobody's gonna feel sorry for you. You know what I mean? You gotta do it yourself.
Yeah, that's trying just to think about, man, with everything, with the season y'all had going that year, everything else. But what, obviously, injury aside, let's look at all of your healthy time at the University of Kentucky. Alex, is there one moment that sticks out in your mind that you're like, okay, this is the absolute best moment I had at Kentucky?
Best moment? The best, I want to say, is a moment. I would say moments. Our sophomore year, when Aaron had that little run, that was pretty insane. And he had like, people only think, remember like the two game winners, but you got to think the game before that, he had a big shot too. So he had like three straight games of tough buckets, like tough like bombs too. He had one against Michigan, Louisville, and Wisconsin. I remember the Wisconsin one. I remember I ran up to him. I'm like, bro, how are you doing this? Like, how do you keep making this? So, but nah, like that was probably the most like memorable and exciting because it was just like, oh, there's no way this is happening again.
And honestly, it was crazy to see. It was crazy because obviously we had the talent that year. It never really clicked until like the most perfect time. But like that was probably the most efficient month of basketball.
No, you gotta think we had tough games. We had a tough Kansas State game, which wasn't just a gimme. You know what I mean? Like some teams have now in the first round. We had a tough game. And then we played Wichita, which was like the number one overall team. And that game was game was brutal. That game was I thought that was the toughest game of the tournament, honestly. Yeah. Okay, granted that we won and we lost to UConn that year, but that was the toughest game. Like that Wisconsin team was good. But they had Van Fleet, Ron Baker, Klee Anthony Early. They were really good.
And they played really good. Like it was like we were
and clicking. I think we may have been in like Iowa or something. Like we did not have a home. We had some fans, but it wasn't all us.
No, it was crazy. Like that, I think you can go back into Cal's history. Like that was that team, he had it peaking at the most ideal time. It was almost like everybody just kind of got together and were like, all right, let's do it. Like you all just like.
Because we lost. Remember, we lost the Florida in the SEC title. Remember, James slipped.
Slipped on the shot.
Slipped on the shot. And we lost to Florida 3-4 times. Like, we couldn't – that team, we couldn't beat. But they had Scottie Wilbekin, Patrick Young. They had a senior team, you know what I mean, back then when everybody else was still young. But, yeah, now that – we peaked right at the right level.
That was unique, too, because, remember, we watched the selection show in the – Falcons Stadium, remember? And we sat there and watched it, and then we flew home. So it was almost like we watched it, knew what we did, landed, and it was kind of like a new.
Yeah, season. It was like that game technically didn't matter because they said if you would have won, then we still would have been in the same spot. So that's what Cal was mad about. But
yeah, well, I'm going to ask you this because we might have debated about this the other day. What do you deem as your favorite dunk of all time?
My favorite?
Your favorite all-time dunk.
At Kentucky? Oh,
okay. Yeah, we'll do Kentucky or all-time.
At Kentucky, I had a couple. I remember Arizona State, we had a good one. But I only remember that because D-Long was in the crowd. the Duke one, when Jamal threw the lob, I got my tooth stuck. I had a good one. No, the Final Four one against Wisconsin probably is.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
On Sam Decker. That probably was my best one.
You kept like going. You had this unique ability of just like, I'm going to jump and I'm just going to like keep going and figure
it out. Yeah, I'm going to figure it out when I get there.
I wish I had that. Yeah. But I think you'll go down in history as probably the all-time highest 2-foot jumper in the history of Kentucky basketball. I've never seen anyone have the highest vertical 2 feet and then the lowest 1 foot.
Yeah, I jump better off 1 foot now. Like it's better than what it used to be. Like I worked on it, but like I don't know why the difference is just so. It's just how my body is. I don't know why.
I mean, we're skipping past the fact that he just mentioned the time of getting his tooth stuck in the net.
Must be nice, right?
Against Duke. What was Alex? What was that like? I mean, did you like? Obviously, we watched the game. We've seen the clips, but you come down and you're like, my tooth.
Nah, so what happened was Jamal threw a lob and I dunked it. But it felt like somebody, like, snapped my head. Like, I felt something in my tooth, and it felt like somebody snapped my head back. So, like, if y'all watch the play, I'm looking around like, what the hell just happened? And then Marcus is trying to, like, push me to go play defense. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to figure out, like, what happened. And then, like, after the game, everybody was like, oh, look at the picture. And I'm like, oh.
Man. I can't imagine. That's just that.
That's can guarantee it'll never happen to me.
We could lift you up there, Brady.
Oh, yeah.
We could lift you up there. Alex, so, you know, your time at Kentucky, you know, eventually comes to an end, and as we know, you sign with the Indiana Pacers to go into summer league. And so, you know, we talked earlier about going from Clarksville young man to being on the court with yourself and other, you know, NBA prospects, NBA players. And we can only imagine what that adjustment's like. What's that adjustment like when you sign with the Pacers for summer league and preparing from college to the NBA where everybody is NBA guys?
I mean, you have to flip that switch that, okay, now I'm no longer like you can still be a fan of these players, but you can't be in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like I no more can be like, oh, it's Paul George. Oh, it's nice to watch him play. I know you got to go and guard him, make sure you make it tough and not let him score. So once you figure that out, it's better. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just like what any competitor does. You just got to compete against them. As long as you do that, you'll be fine. But you can't. You have to like change that. Like they're not your friends. They can be your friends off the court, but on the court, they can't be.
Who do you feel like is maybe the best player you've ever either played with or had to guard?
Played with. I was on that team when Vic had his all-star and most improved. Like he had a run that year. Mm-hmm. I had to guard LeBron. I had to guard Melo, Giannis. Like I had to guard some pretty nice dudes, which was tough. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You just got at some point you're just trying to make it tough on them. You know what I'm saying? Like make them make tough shots. You know what I mean? Like. Make them shoot tough shots because it's tough. You know what I mean? They're Hall of Famers for a reason.
How much preparation goes into that? We obviously know what kind of grind it is physically, but, you know, we've all heard the Kobe Bryant documentaries and stories about his studying the game and watching film. Knowing that you're getting ready to step on the court and guard LeBron James, guard Giannis, what's that preparation like?
I remember when we played the Lakers when they had LeBron, we had a game plan for like a week. Like we were like, all right, we'll go back up, we're gonna let him shoot, we go do this, do that. I remember the first play I checked in, I guard him, I just rushed him. And I remember our coach looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, all right, my fault. I got too excited.
We need to find that clip.
No, I definitely fouled him, so
well, that's what happens when you get your tooth stuck in the net. They put you on all these all-stars to guard.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. No, it happened when I'm 6'8", 6'9".
No, you're in like a unique spot. You like versatile can guard guards, and then you got.
Yeah, no, that's the gift and the curse. You just put me on anybody. So, but no, but it's cool. And those moments, like looking back now, like those moments are great. You know what I mean? Like I got pictures, like of me guarding D-Wade. LeBron, like all these people I admire, you know what I mean? And in the moment, like, okay, yeah, I compete. But like afterwards when I'm yeah. still playing, but like afterwards, like those are like memorable moments for me.
Do any of them talk like a ton of crap? Like
Melo did.
I can see that.
Melo did for sure.
So we know a lot of them talk crap. Melo talk crap. Who was probably the best talker that you played against?
He was on our team, Lance Stevenson probably was the best one we had. He was on that team when I was with the Pacers.
But and that was like prime Lance too, because he was playing well. Like,
oh yeah, that was Lance when he was blowing LeBron's ear, all types of stuff. That was that Lance.
I feel like it's an art, right?
No, I mean that's how he gets going. That's just him.
Yeah. The question I wanted to ask you, I never even asked you this. Did you play with Vince Carter?
I did. I actually got a picture over there. He signed for him.
What was that like? Because, like, he's.
Let me see if I can grab it.
Yeah, that's almost when I think about growing up watching the NBA. Like, I think back to that Vince T-Mac group with the Raptors. Look at that.
That's sweet.
He's personalized it somewhere. I don't know. Where is that?
That's cool. Yeah,
that is really cool.
That's awesome. What was that like? Because, like, I think he epitomizes, like, the ultimate vet, the ultimate, like, he's going to make a career out of basketball. Like, what was he like as a teammate? Especially, like, you got him at the end of his career. Like,
that was one of the teammates I kind of was like, okay, like, I'm going to try to appreciate you. You know what I mean? Like, I remember like our first meeting we had, we showed us like highlight when Dunk jumped over the dude in the Olympics. And he's just laughing. I'm like, bro, that's insane. Like, bro, you don't understand how crazy that is. But he's like a humble guy. You could tell like he was in the tail end, but even then he would show signs of, oh, okay, I remember if you're doing this at 40, I'm gonna imagine what you're doing at 30, 25. So, but no, he was a really good teammate, so.
Well, I think guys like that, they just stick around because they're good people, right? No, that's sweet. I didn't realize you played with him in Atlanta until I
No,
started.
I did. Yeah, I did. So,
That's all. Yeah, I feel like guys like that have that great ability to share that mutual respect back.
no, they do. Once you get like old head vets like that, like I'm talking about the guys that have been in the league probably 15 plus years, like Al Jefferson was another one when I played in Indiana. Like those type of guys, like the ones that remember you've been the ones that you've been watching since you were in like middle school, like those guys, you have like a form of respect for them. Because again, you got to think these are older vets that have been playing forever.
So Alex, you've played at every level of basketball, high level basketball you can play at. You played at the highest of highest level in Division I college basketball. You've played in the NBA. You've played overseas, places like Israel, Turkey, Italy, now Russia. What was maybe the hardest adjustment throughout your career? Was there one of those transitions that was just maybe a little tougher than the others?
No. I mean, I think the hardest adjustment is going from the NBA to Europe in general. You got to realize that it's a different game. It's more skill based. You know what I mean? Some of the rules are different, but like the European game is a little bit different than the game in the States. And then once you realize that, everything's a little bit easier. But that's the hardest adjustment. Like some guys try to come over and play like ISO basketball, you know what I mean? Like stuff they do in the NBA, but you can't do that in Europe just because, you know what I mean? Different rules like the no defensive 3 seconds, like take fouls, stuff like that. Like different rules where like they make it hard for like isolation scoring, where you actually have to run an offense against different types of defenses and set defenses. So that was the biggest adjustment. But once you figure that out and your mental IQ gets a little bit better, then it's a little bit easier.
Was there any strategies or like philosophies when you got overseas that you were just like, what is this? I've never seen this before.
Yeah, there's some defensive schemes and stuff, but like you have to like really apply it and just do it. Like, sometimes you try to be like, oh, this is not what I was taught in the past. Well, you kind of got to forget that and do what you're asked because it's like a push-pull from, like, if you do your job and somebody else does their job, then the defense is good. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit more of that. But it's not harder basketball, it's just different. That's what I would say.
Was there any cultural differences that was
Oh,
noticeable?
there were definitely cultural differences. Yeah, I think my first time overseas, I went to China first.
Okay, so I China, okay.
I went to China first for 3 months, and that was a culture shock. Like I think I ate rice and noodles every day.
I mean, you went like all out then the first time. Like you got the full experience. So like it was good all like the next trip was gonna be better than that one.
No, though, but that was the culture shock. That was the biggest culture shock. And then I went to Turkey with Aaron, and that wasn't too bad because I had Aaron and he helped me with things. And then I went to Russia after that, and Russia wasn't too bad. It was no different than Turkey, in my opinion. But then once you start going to these different countries, especially in Europe, a lot of them are similar.
Yeah, I feel like that would be my big thing, man. Like I'm a semi picky eater, and I'm sitting here thinking like I might get to some places and feel like I'm gonna starve to death, you know?
Nah, I mean, expect like the food in Russia, people think it's just Russian food. I'm like, no, they have Italian restaurants. They have steakhouses. They have sushi restaurants. You know what I mean? They have other restaurants. It's not just Russian food all day.
So, which country have you played in that had the best food?
The best food?
Yeah.
Italy for sure had top notch. When I was in Milan, the food was really, really good.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I
So,
remember.
go ahead, sorry.
Oh, go, Brady.
No, I was gonna say take our fans and guests that are listening through. Like, I'm sure not a lot of people know about the day in the life of like a international player. Like, what kind of things do the clubs take care of to make sure that you're accommodated?
So
The transition.
They take care of flights and travel to the country for sure. They give you a car. They provide a car. They provide housing, or they provide a housing allowance, and you can find your apartment, or they'll find it for you, whoever works. And then they take off all like the day to day stuff. Like you got to think, like in Russia, you got to think there is a language barrier. Most places speak English, but there's a language barrier. So some of the times, if I need something, I'll call a team manager to take care of it. Like I remember my daughter got sick one time. I had a doctor come to my house. They take care of family health care for you, all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? But I've been fortunate to play on good clubs that actually do that. You know what I mean? Like every club I've been on, that have been good. I hear some horror stories from some teams, but like I've been fortunate to be on some good teams.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, the transition, especially for Americans. I mean, like, I would be like, you kind of get over there and you're like, oh, like.
I mean, it's tough because you like even driving, you look at the signs. Signs are in a different language. You don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You make a wrong turn. They got some one ways. Like it can get tough if you're not paying attention.
So you drive over there? Like you?
Yeah, I drive.
Yeah.
What's up? So what is Russia? Is it, are you on the right side of the road, the left
No,
side?
No, it's same. It's same. The only one that's on the right side is on the opposite side. I think it's in London, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. Everywhere else has been the same, just like driving regular cars.
So, Alex, looking outside of basketball, what would you say is your most proud moment apart from basketball?
Oh, my daughter, for sure. You know what I mean? Like, actually, like it changes your perspective when you become a father. You know what I'm saying? Like, you understand, like, stuff is not just for you. Like, you can't be selfish. You know what I mean? Like, I can't make selfish decisions even though I want to. Like, even like, okay, I would love for her to sit here and watch TV, but, you know, you have to go to sleep because you will be cranky in the morning if you don't. Or even some situations like, oh, I want to go do this. I want to go out. I want to go hang with my friends. I'm like, no, you have to stay inside. You got to have dinner with your family, all type of stuff. So you can't be selfish, but it's a joy, man. It's a joy. Even something simple as just going to the park and just watching her running around is crazy to me. You know what I mean? Because now she's at the age where she's starting to get her own little personality and it's starting to show a little bit. And then you really realize, like, okay, I really have a little human that's just, I'm molding to a little person. You know what I'm saying?
So is she a daddy's girl or a mommy's girl?
It depends. At night, she's mama. She wants no part of me. But during the day, she's all me.
Oh, hey, she came crawling up the stairs to you there a minute ago. She was ready.
That's because she couldn't find her mom. That's the only reason why.
She had a better chance probably staying up if you let her. Then
no, I let her stay up. She wants to stay up and hang out with me while I watch TV. I don't care. But her mom gets on me like, hey, no, I just need to go to sleep. You need to go put her in bed. So I'm like, she's just chilling. She ain't making a noise. So
yeah, you're going to be out in your basketball career practicing tomorrow, and I'm gonna have to put up with the hatefulness.
Yeah, that's what she says. I'm like, you leave. You got to go to practice. I don't know what I got to deal with her when she's cranky. So,
Alex, we've got a lot of young listeners that listen to this podcast. A lot of aspiring athletes, all the way from young to high school, college athletes. You've been through some adversity we've talked about in your career, like with your ACL injury. Is there any advice that you can give to young athletes that may be dealing with some type of adversity?
Yeah, you got to fight through and push through. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You know what I mean? Like the grind up, you got to enjoy the grind of getting better, being in the gym, or really just working on whatever you're working on. It can be basketball, volleyball, whatever. It can be sport. It can be chess. It doesn't really matter. But you got to enjoy the process of getting better and improving. You know what I mean? Not every day. You're not going to want to do it every day, but those are the days you got to wake up and keep doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to run hill sprints this morning, but I have to. You know what I mean? It's how I stay in shape and do all this stuff. And you got to love what you do. You know what I mean? You got to love it. You got to enjoy it. Because again, you get to an age like me where it's a job and a profession. And at a young age, it's still a game. You know what I mean? And that joy, that pure joy that y'all have playing it, you got to cherish that. Because at some point, once business and politics and all types of stuff get involved, it becomes a job where like you're evaluating on how well you do. And at that point, you lose the love for it some, but like you gotta go revert back to that joy that you remember when you were 6, 7 years old, first grabbing a basketball and just playing.
Have you put any thought into what's next after basketball?
Not yet, you know what I mean? I've tried to stay focused in it, you know what I mean? I mean, as the years go on, as I keep getting more and more years, I will have to start thinking about that. I wouldn't mind staying around sports. I don't want to coach, I don't think I have the patience for it. I wouldn't mind being a AD or some front office wise, where I can be like a step removed from the sport. Like, I feel like coaches are still in the sport, but you can't really, I can't really predict the game, and my hands are not on the game like a player can. And I think that would drive me crazy. You know what I mean? Especially for a player. I can't do nothing about it. Like, I got to put my faith in somebody else. I don't know if I'm there yet. Maybe one day I will be, but right now I couldn't see myself doing it.
That's got to be tough, especially as successful as you've been, and the ability you've had on the floor, like you said, knowing, hey, this is what you need to do, but actually putting the faith in them to go do it the way you would, right?
Yeah, and that's the toughest thing, especially as a coach. I mean, as a coach, I guess it's what you signed up for when you do that. Like, okay, I'm coaching these players to be able to do it out there on their own. But for me, like, I'm always like, I'll do it. Just tell me what I need to do, and I'm gonna tell somebody, and they're not gonna do it, and it's just gonna frustrate the hell out of me.
Well, Alex, me and Brady before this podcast and episode and a little bit of preparation, we've kind of gathered some questions from across the BBN,
All right.
across us. So we're gonna have a little fun here. I want this to be rapid fire, okay? So
Rapid. All
rapid. So I'm gonna ask these questions, and I don't want you to think about it. I want first thing that
the
comes to your
first
mind.
thing that comes. Okay, I got you.
Very first thing. All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right. Favorite dunk of your career? You've already answered that one, but go.
Probably the Duke game where I got my tooth stuck. No,
Best
the West Conference. See, I'm already.
Oh, it's tough. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it
Tough
fun.
picking a dunk, right? It's really freaking hard, man.
Yeah, I mean,
It's really
I got so
hard.
many of them, Brady.
It's so hard, man.
Best teammate.
Be long.
Okay. Favorite place to eat in Lexington?
Local taco.
Loudest Rupp Arena moment.
Loudest Rupp Arena moment. Loudest, 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 loudest. Who we play at home? Louisville. When we beat Louisville one of the years, it was the loudest.
Thought that might be the answer to that one.
Yeah.
This next one, I'm going to ask it, but you can take a little bit longer because I'm really curious to hear this. Well, me and Brady was talking about this earlier. This is not a BBN question. This is a Brady and Wes question here. Who wins one-on-one, you now or freshman year Alex?
Oh, me, I'm kicking my freshman year out right now.
Why is that? What do you do now that you're kicking the freshman year out?
I'm smarter, so like there's something simple as like pump fakes. You know what I mean? I would beat them off that. Like I used to jump at everything, so.
So what do you think? So that's why I wanted you to think about this one a little bit, and that's perfect because this is kind of what I wanted to lead into. So you said smarter, and you're seeing the game, feeling the game better. Is that all from experience, or is that from people who have taught you along the way? What makes that happen?
No, it's definitely from experience. You know what I mean? When you're young, you think I gotta go 1,000 miles an hour, and that's not the case. You know what I mean? Like, you see the game now, it's all pace and change of pace and stuff like that. You gotta know when to be fast, when to be slow, when to take your time. Like back then, especially freshman, I was just trying to just do things too fast. You know what I mean? That can help me sometimes because I would be quicker than everybody, but sometimes it would hurt you. So I think now I think I would be my beat first. It would be a problem because I was way more athletic back then, but I think I beat him now.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. Brady, did you expect that?
Yeah, 100%.
You say he was kind of talking about freshman year, Alex, earlier.
Of course he was.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. I said he just never figured it out yet. You were
was.
athletic. I mean, you were really athletic.
Yeah, so that it would be tough because like I was everywhere, so.
I think in general, I see when you said the adjustment from NBA to international, I think the hardest from being outsider in is high school to college. I think figuring out your place at that college space.
It's tough. I do think that jump from high school to college was a big, it was a very big jump. I don't know if I was prepared for it right away. But it was a bigger jump than I thought it was going to be, honestly. You got to think, high school, I'm just the biggest guy. I had to really, okay, I got block shots, but I didn't really have to play defense like that. Like, you get to college, you have to. I think I played three. I was guarding wings. Like it was tough a little bit.
Yeah,
But
I think.
once you figure out how to slow the game down, it was
Well,
fun.
it's the bigs. I think bigs coming to college, like you, who's been taller than everybody. Like in high school, when you play, you just like, you know what I mean. You don't have to do the things, and
Yeah,
like a guy
I was
like
just
Tyler.
bigger, stronger, more athletic, and then you get to college, and okay, I'm still more athletic and bigger, but again, like you still. It's still tougher. It's still tougher.
So, Alex, we'll give you a chance. I know you've taken a lot of time to talk to us, but I want to give you a chance here at the end of this podcast. Is there anything you want to plug? Do you got any kind of appearances coming up? You got any kind of business ventures going on? Any kind of Zenit plug you want to throw in there?
Oh no, I'm just all I do is I work out every day, train, spend time with my family. No appearances. I would have went to the TBT game if they would have kept on winning, though. I
That's
think
it.
I would have drove down for one of them, but they lost, unfortunately. So,
I think you've talked a lot about the twins and your experiences together, both at Kentucky and overseas. And I feel like they've been a little sad that it's over.
no, they are. You know what I mean? Because once you forget. And I forgot a little bit. Once you forget after, because there's nothing like Kentucky. Like after you leave and play for these professional clubs and stuff like that, and then you actually get to play again. Okay, it's not playing in Rupp. It's not, you know what I mean, not playing against Louisville or something like that. But they still got a taste of that with TBT, especially playing with Memorial. And then it was even better for some of the guys that really didn't get that love, like Khalil and, you know what I mean? Some of those guys didn't really get that love like that, like they should have come back. You even see Archie. Archie's only here for 1 year and then came back and played great. So for them to come back and get that love and that feeling again from the fans is really what it's about, and one of the reasons why a lot of them like love it so much. You know what I mean? Willie loves it because of that. The Twins love it because that really can't be duplicated in many places. You know what I mean? You got some big clubs in Europe that can do that, but like Kentucky, different from a fan perspective.
Oh yeah.
Well,
Speak.
can you give us a little hint? What's the percentages that you play in a TBT by the time you retire?
By the time I retire, I'll play before I retire.
All right, there we
I'll
go.
play once before
It sounds 100% to me.
That's what it sounds
You're
like. I'm
gonna
excited now. Yeah.
have 20 calling my
Yeah.
Tawny's gonna try to air. Yeah, he's gonna try to get you in your
No,
prime.
the thing is, I would love to play. I would love to play. Like some stuff with my contract and stuff like that, it makes it tough. But I would love to play. Because again, like to play in front of those fans again would be amazing. Now, when that will happen, I don't know.
Which
Don't
will
so
be
don't.
it'll be good though, because then you'll have your daughter. Hopefully, she'll be able to understand it.
Yeah, she'll be understanding. So don't quote me on that. But like, I would love to play, but it's tough. It's tough now, especially because now some of those guys are not retired, but like Willie's not playing no more. Liggins isn't really playing that much. Archie's still playing, but some of those guys, like, there's not really guys that are like currently playing. Like really, and like Derek can't play, I can't play. You see some of the NBA guys, they don't play either. So no, it's tough because again, like with scheduling and some of the stuff, especially with the European offseason, our offseason is like 2 months. Like it's not that long at all.
That threw a little bit of hope out there to the BBN to be able to
Yeah,
see you back in the blue one day. So
for sure. No, I would love to. Man, I love it. I love the fans. I appreciated my time at Kentucky, even though Brady was with me all those times. But other than that,
absolutely.
Alex, how and where can fans follow you and your journey and connect with you? What do we got social media wise and things like that?
I made my Instagram private, so don't follow me on Instagram. But you can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever they call it, AlexTheGrace22. It's been the same since I've been in high school.
All right, so there you go. You want to keep up with Alex over at Zenit and see his journey. Hit him up on Twitter. I guess we call it X. I told Brady earlier I was calling it Twitter, but I guess it's X. So
I still call it Twitter, so it is what it is.
it's still Twitter. It's still Twitter, man, all the time. Well, Alex, we appreciate you hopping on here with us and giving us a look at what's behind the scenes with Alex Poitras and man, you're always going to be a part of Big Blue Nation. You're always going to be a part of Kentucky and here. So, man, we always wish you the best. We always welcome you back home in any capacity.
Oh, appreciate it. Now, thanks for having me again.
We need another round on the golf course soon.
Yeah, I know Brady gotta redeem himself
I
because
do. I'll be better, I promise. Next time we see him, he'll probably hit in like minus five.
I played this morning. I tried to play with no mulligans, like extra hits, all that stuff. I played pretty bad this morning, so you would have been happy.
All right, there we go.
I
Can we
think I was
talk
like
to be
plus, I
on
think
my
I was like
level?
I think I was like plus 17. It was bad.
Yeah. Well,
Can we talk about the best moment of that golf outing though? And it's not anything we've talked about, but there was a moment, Alex, that Brady had been playing really bad. Like, and I can say that because I was playing really bad, but
oh, you're
Brady's
talking
playing.
about the double putt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Brady hit a 40-yard putt, and he's like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "Oh, let me just try it real quick. One shot."
Like, you talk about stealing someone's joy. I had like 10, like 8 seconds of joy. I was like, I finally did something good for our team. And then, boom, just like, not, you didn't even, I don't think you lined it up. You
I
just,
mean, no, I just hit it. Technically, you did. You got the point for it, so it doesn't really matter. I was just swinging just to swing.
yeah, but like, it just, it didn't mean special anymore.
Brady, I'm an athlete. It comes natural.
All right, we'll set something up next time.
No, for sure.
Alex, we appreciate you, man, as always. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for everything. And until next time, guys, you know the drill with Wes and Brady, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Thank you, as always.
You know the drill with Wes Smith and Brady Kennedy, presented by MCHC.